FNC's Carlson on coronavirus, when do we get our country back? That question is too rarely asked. By Jeff Poor on August 25, 2020. For his opening monologue on Monday's broadcast of Fox News Channel's Tucker Carlson Tonight, host Tucker Carlson pointed out the lack of discussion about a return to the pre-COVID-19 normal. Carlson said many shun those who ask the questions, and the goalposts that define progress on coronavirus are continually shifting. Transcript as follows. Carlson, have you been to America lately? A lot of Americans really haven't. For months, most of us have stayed close to home. We had to. So the next time you get on a plane and visit a couple of American cities, you may be surprised, especially if you remember those cities well from before the pandemic. An awful lot has changed in a short time. Many stores and restaurants are closed, you expect that. Churches are locked on Sunday morning. That's weird. The streets seem empty, except for the parks which are full of the homeless. When you do see people, they tend to be wearing masks and they won't get close to you. It's a very strange experience. The country has changed a lot. The culture has changed a lot and really not for the better. So the question is, how long will this last? How long do we have to endure this? When do we get our country back? When can we live like we used to live back in February? That question is too rarely asked. And in fact, asking it is actively discouraged. At first, you'll remember, the authorities told us we could resume our lives when hospital admissions tapered off and we flattened the curve. The curve stayed flat, in most places it never bent. So we get a new benchmark for when we can get back to normal, when we get a vaccine. Everything will be fine once we can vaccinate against COVID-19. Many in authority told us that. They're still telling us that. The state of Virginia has announced that when a vaccine finally does arrive, it will be mandatory. Not all vaccines. Virginia will not require vaccines for hepatitis or HIV. They don't require a vaccine for meningitis either to fight, despite the fact that meningitis kills a lot more, say, college students than coronavirus does. But once you get a corona vaccine, they're telling us, all will be well. But now they've changed that. Not true anymore. According to a new announcement from the World Health Organization, a vaccine, even if we get one, will not be the end of all of this. It will never end. You can get your injection. They'll make you get it. But you'll still be under arrest. The World Health Organization says that finding a vaccine is not the goal. Reordering society is the goal. Quote, "We will not, we cannot go back to the way things were." That's a direct quote from the leader of the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros, who, by the way, is not really a doctor. Because COVID-19 is not a public health crisis really, or even a mere virus. According to Tedros, COVID-19 is in fact, this may surprise you, COVID-19 is really about global warming. As he puts it, quote, "The COVID-19 pandemic has given new impetus to the need to accelerate efforts to respond to climate change. I bet you didn't see that coming." Bill Gates did. He agrees to that wholeheartedly. Earlier this month, Gates posted an essay to his personal website, which you probably haven't seen, arguing that the lesson of the corona pandemic is that the rest of us will have to sacrifice even more to save the earth from warming. Now, for people who are not billionaire global influencers, this is all pretty confusing. Quick. What does the coronavirus have to do with climate change? Well, for one thing, China caused both of them. That's the obvious link. But that is definitely not the point Dr. Tedros and Bill Gates are making, both of them bow before China. They would never meaningfully criticize the Chinese government. So you can be assured that's not the connection they're drawing. No. For Dr. Tedros and Bill Gates, pandemic and climate change share a very different connection. Both are useful pretexts for mass social control. Both are essentially unsolvable crises they can harness to bypass democracy and force powerless populations to obey their commands. Now it makes sense. Ever wondered why our leaders consider the coronavirus a major public health crisis, but not, say, suicides and drug odds? Well, this is why. When a 26-year-old mother in New Hampshire drops dead from fentanyl, Bill Gates and Dr. Tedros don't get more powerful. Her death is useless to them. So they don't care. If you actually wanted to improve people's lives, you would look at things very differently and you would probably reach very different conclusions about the pandemic. In just a few weeks, a deadly virus spread from central China through Europe to every major city in the West. And as that happened, the World Health Organization did nothing to stop it and in fact, spread disinformation as it was happening. Those are the facts. So what would a rational person conclude from those facts? Well, the first and most obvious lesson is globalization has risks. It has upsides, of course. Cheaper plastic crap from China, but it also has risks. Pandemics spread very, very fast. Then, as it happened, our most important international public health organization failed on purpose. It's corrupt. The WHO is corrupt. That's a huge problem. That's the other lesson. But no one is learning those lessons. When was the last time you heard Bill Gates or Dr. Tedros say those things? Never. They never will say them because they wouldn't benefit from acknowledging they are true. This is true about all crises. They only take the lessons that empower them. How about global warming? How would a rational person assess global warming? If you really believe that carbon emissions were distorting the Earth's climate, and that's the claim they make, maybe they're right, then you would take a very close look at the forces behind those carbon emissions. You would ask hard questions about the global economy. You'd wonder who is profiting from this system that's destroying the Earth? How exactly do the richest, most powerful people in the world, that would be big finance and the tech monopolies, contribute to carbon emissions? That would be the first question you would ask. That's the logical way to think about climate change. And if you began to think that way, you might wind up concluding that people like, I don't know, Michael Bloomberg were in fact climate criminals. Their private jets alone produce more carbon emissions a year than entire African villages, not to mention more than your neighborhood does, a lot more. But tellingly, no one on the environmental left ever criticizes Michael Bloomberg. He is considered a leader in the fight against climate change. On the basis of the numbers, that is ludicrous, but they say with a straight face and demand you believe it. Part of this is human nature. All of us tend to place ourselves at the center, in the heroic center of our own narratives. That's particularly true of rich people who tend toward the narcissistic. But in this case, they are evading responsibility. They are profiting directly from a system they claim is unacceptable, but it's not their fault somehow. You know whose fault it is? Oh, it's your fault. You're the one who's doing it. You're the one who's killing humanity. You're the one who must change. You've got too many kids. You drive a pickup truck. You forgot to wear your little mask. You're going to hell. Good luck with your bankruptcies and your opioid crisis and your broken lives, Middle America. We will be at the Yellowstone Club having a drink. It's a scam. It's an obvious scam. Here's another data point for you that you won't see on television. Less than a month ago, on July 31st, the CDC, Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, our primary public health organization funded by the federal government, released guidelines to state health departments about patients infected with the coronavirus. How do you track the spread of this disease? In a footnote in the release, the CDC acknowledged that researchers lacked evidence that, quote, masks offer any protection against coronavirus, any at all. As health officials work to track the spread of the virus, the CDC suggested that they ignore whether or not people were wearing masks. In other words, wearing a mask may be completely irrelevant to the spread of the virus. So there is still no proof that masks protect us against COVID-19? That is apparently the conclusion the CDC reached. It's not something Trump tweeted. The CDC put that in a release to the states. It seems like a blockbuster story. Why isn't that on page one of the New York Times? Why is the entire media, the entire leadership class of the United States of America ignoring this? Masks are obligatory. They're mandatory everywhere. Just the other day, Joe Biden announced that if he is elected, you will be required to wear a mask when you're alone outside. What is going on? You know what's going on? Fear works. The more afraid you are, the more you will accept. Again, a feature of human nature. The more cut off you are from your family and your friends, the more power they have to control you. This is an election year. Democrats want to win in November. The virus is their main shot to win. Nobody disputes that. Who's looked at the numbers? They're using fear of the coronavirus to achieve that. For example, polling places. They would like to close more of them. Why? To force a vote by mail. Why? Because vote by mail is more easy to manipulate. The latest coronavirus relief bill the Democrats are pushing would bring ballot harvesting to every state. What does that have to do with defeating the virus? Nothing. It's not science, it's politics. But here's the key thing to remember. All of us are assuming and on the right, it is gospel. This will end if Joe Biden wins. On Inauguration Day, no more lockdowns. Yes, don't bet on it. This isn't ending. The Wuhan pandemic has made our leadership class more powerful than they had have ever been. Why would they relinquish that? The only politician in America who has ever given up power voluntarily is George Washington, and they're toppling his statues. Follow Jeff Poor on Twitter at Jeff_Poor.